Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs. If I were to ask you to define the word euangelion, what would you say? Well, I don't know many people that would come up with a definition for that. But to tell you the truth, that's just the Greek word that is translated into the English word gospel. What is the gospel? I'll tell you that there are a lot of people that say they preach the gospel, but not all of those people proclaim it like the Lord requires that it be proclaimed. The word gospel means good news. I'm sure that most of you already could say that you knew that. The transliteration of the word gospel results in the English word evangelize. I want you to think about good news for a moment. If I were to see someone walking up to my doorstep and they had a vehicle identified as being from the publisher's clearinghouse, and that person knocked on my door and gave me a check for $3 million or whatever it is they give, that would be good news. And I would tell you that I could say that receiving that was the gospel. Indeed, it was good news. When political parties present their platforms, whether at the Democratic or the Republican convention, you could say that in their minds they are presenting the gospel, good news to people, so as to get them to give them their vote. The slang usage of the word gospel, resulting in the definition of truth, isn't always right. The truth is not always good news. I know of a lot of times that I've heard things that were true that were not good news. So good news, the gospel, is defined that way regardless of the character of that news. But I don't want to talk to you today just about good news. I want to talk to you about what is the good news of Jesus Christ. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? First of all, it's something that God wants preached to every creature on the face of the earth. And because God wants it taught, you and I can be assured that there's something worthwhile about it. God would not tell us to spread forth the gospel or the good news unless there was something God thought would benefit mankind in their learning that gospel. After Jesus had taught his disciples for about 3 years and had done many wonderful things to demonstrate his authority, Jesus died on the cross. You and I are familiar with that crucifixion through our studies. Jesus was buried, and then he arose on the third day, and before his ascension back to heaven, to his apostles he said, "Go ye into all the world and preached the gospel to every creature." Mark 16, verse 15. Jesus wanted that good news spread throughout the very four corners of the earth. That charge that Jesus gave to his apostles was so primary, so important, so basic to Christianity that he was unwilling to let the disciples to go unaccompanied. He said in Luke 24 and verse 49, "Tarry at Jerusalem until ye be endued with the power from on high." Jesus told his apostles, "Wait for the Holy Spirit. Wait until he comes." Jesus did not want them to go unprotected. Jesus knew that taking forth the good news to all creation is no child's play. He understands that one that enters into that kind of a ministry is one that needs the help of deity. the eternal destiny of the world is suspended on the acception or the rejection of the message of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I want you to proclaim that message. Go to Jerusalem and wait for the proper time. Wait until the human frailties that exist in all mankind are provided for by the perfect help of the Holy Spirit. Then, starting with Jerusalem, go throughout Judea. Then go to Samaria, and finally to the uttermost parts of the earth. Later on, Paul was converted and became an apostle. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 16, For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. There was the attitude of those that received the initial charge from Jesus to go into all of the world and preach the gospel, recorded in Mark 16 and verse 15. Paul says, Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Every man that rises in the pulpit of religious bodies today should feel the responsibility that Paul speaks about. There are some that preach about things that are purely social. Some preach on things that are wholly secular. There are some that preach on things that are just governmental in nature. But that's not the business of a preacher of the gospel. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel of Christ. I might be able to entertain you and fill the building where we worship by choosing topics that appeal to humanity, but that wouldn't be the gospel of Christ, would it? That wouldn't be fulfilling the charge that Jesus made so clear. Second, there's more to the gospel of Christ than just something God wants man taught. There's another side to it. It's something that God wants man to obey. It comes with attractive promises. It comes with solemn and sacred warnings. In verse 6, For after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you. Wow. There's a passage of Scripture in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 that is important. And to you, verses 7 and 8 say, And to you that are afflicted, rest with us. At the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven, with angels of his power in flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that don't know God and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus. There's the warning. We must know the good news that Jesus wanted his apostles to proclaim throughout the world. Who becomes the subject of God's wrath according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1? Who is it upon whom God's vengeance is poured according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1? It's the man that does not obey the good news. It's the man that sits idly by. It's the man that may be a splendid hearer and may give even mental consent to the correctness of the message that he's hearing. It's the man that does not move in obedience to the gospel of Christ. Do you believe that? How can a rational person not be moved when he comes to recognize the truth that the vengeance of God will be poured upon him if he does not obey the gospel taught by Jesus Christ? Third, the gospel of Christ is more than just something God wants obeyed. It's more than something God wants taught. It's the avenue. It's the way of salvation. You want to be saved? One must go through the plan of the gospel in order to be saved. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which ye are also saved, if ye keep the memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all the things which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. I want you to highlight in your mind, for the sake of this lesson, the words that Paul spoke in that passage just read, by which ye are also saved. We are saved by the message of the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ, the message of good news. If Paul was right when he says we are saved by the gospel, what would be the implied negative of that positive proposition? Well, it would be that without the gospel, there can be no salvation. Salvation is based on obedience to the gospel. All kinds of illustrations can be made, all kinds of events can be called forth for argumentation, but the fact is that without the gospel of Jesus Christ, there cannot be salvation. Salvation is based upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can do many things to help our fellow man, and in fact, we should, as we have opportunity. That's taught in Galatians 6 and verse 10. We can provide for our fellow man when he needs clothing. We can provide food when our fellow man is hungry. We can provide a place to live for our fellow man when he's homeless. We can provide comfort in troubled times for our fellow man when the difficult days of our existence come upon us. We can provide leadership for our fellow man that shows them the proper ways to perform certain activities. But I'll tell you what, all of those things are temporal. Unless we provide fellow man with the gospel, then that person is lost. Unless I give people the gospel of Jesus Christ, they cannot be saved. It doesn't matter what a person's social standing is. That person needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what political persuasion you are. That person needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how many things that you have or balances in the bank unless you have Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what your business position is unless you have Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if you live in a palace or a shack unless you have Jesus Christ. If you don't hear, if you don't believe, if you don't obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, you'll never enter the pearly gate and walk on the streets that are made with gold. As Paul declared to Corinth, a population of 400,000, I declare to you now, brethren, I preach unto you the gospel wherein you stand and by which you are saved. When I render obedience to Christ's gospel, I stand saved. My past sins are blotted out. And then what? Then I must be faithful unto death. I must keep my garments spotless by continually going to God and receiving forgiveness of sins through repentance. When I repent of wrongdoing through prayer, I use the Christian's washing machine, spiritually speaking. I don't rejoice that Jesus died. I rejoice because of what his death meant and what we have through his life. In this gospel of Christ, the gospel that we are examining today, we see three basic elements. We see facts. The fact is that Jesus died on the cross, Matthew 27 and verse 50. We see the fact that Jesus was buried in the grave of a tomb, of a friend, Matthew 27 and verse 60. We see the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead, Matthew 28 and verse 6. Those are the facts of the gospel. Jesus died, Jesus was buried, and Jesus raised from the dead. Another basic element of the gospel is commandments. The first commandment is faith in Jesus Christ, Acts 16 and verse 31. Another commandment is repentance, Luke 17 and verse 3. Another commandment of the gospel of Christ is baptism, Mark 16, verse 16. We must obey not only the facts of the gospel, but the commandments of the gospel. We must confess, Romans 10 and verse 9. Confessing Christ, Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33. So then the facts of the gospel are that Jesus died, and that Jesus was buried, and that Jesus was raised from the dead. The commandments of the gospel are to have a faith in Jesus Christ, to repent of our sins, to confess or acknowledge Jesus Christ before man, and to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of our sins. There are promises in the gospel. First of all, the gospel promises forgiveness of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. Another promise of the gospel is heaven. That's found in John, the 14th chapter. Another promise of the gospel is hell. That's promised in Matthew 7 and verse 21 and 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 8. Those ingredients fit perfectly with the nature of man. The facts that we alluded to perfectly fit with man's power to think, man's intellect. The facts of the gospel appeal to the intellect of man. The ingredients of the gospel fit perfectly with the nature of man, in that the commandments, faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, challenge the power to reason of mankind. The promises of the gospel tunes in perfectly with the emotional nature of mankind. Forgiveness, heaven, hell, all tune in with the emotional nature of man. There are those, maybe even some that are listening to this radio broadcast, that believe the facts of the gospel. I know those that believe, so they state, that Jesus Christ died. There are those that believe that Jesus Christ was buried. And even those that can almost paraphrase the account of that burial, that death and that burial. I know people that believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. They believe the facts of the gospel. But unless, my friend, you're willing to render obedience based upon that belief, unless you're willing to repent of your sins. Repentance is making up one's mind to do things God's way rather than man's way. Repentance is motivated by a godly sorrow, a sorrow that comes within the heart of man because of turning our back upon the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That godly sorrow propels man to want to do things a different way, a way that they can find in the Word of Jesus Christ. Unless you're willing to repent of your sins, that belief of the facts of the gospel will do you no good. Unless you believe that you must confess, that is, to publicly acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the fact that you believe in the facts of the gospel will do you no good. Unless you are ready to render obedience to the commands of the gospel to be baptized, knowing the facts will do you no good in eternity. We must repent. We must confess. We must be baptized in order to be saved. Do you want to enjoy the promise of heaven? I do. Are you willing to submit yourself to Jesus Christ and His teachings? Are you willing to open your heart to study the Bible? Are you willing to sit down with someone and open that Bible and just see what Jesus wants us to do? I caution you, never take the advice of some human being with regard to what to do to be saved. Open the book and see it for yourself. If you're interested in a personal Bible study, I'll meet you anywhere and open the Bible. I will not give you what I think the Bible says. I'll let you read the Bible. We'll read the Bible together and see what Jesus Christ, what God has given us as terms for salvation. I plead with you. Open your heart. Give your future a chance. Don't be swayed by the convenience of modern times. Don't be fooled by the lies that the devil sets before you. Be a Christian this year. We invite you to come and study with us at the Monte Vista Church of Christ. We are a group of people who have committed ourselves to following God's Word. We speak where the Bible speaks, and we're silent where the Bible is silent. We are a group of people that are trying to go on unto perfection. We do that by helping each other, by studying together, by presenting an atmosphere of learning that I think you would be pleased with. We invite you to come. We don't want your money. We want your soul. We want you to come and learn what it takes to be a Christian. You will not be embarrassed in our services. We will not call you out, and we will not be ugly about the things on which we differ. We will open the book. We will see what God has to say. If that kind of an invitation is appealing to you, we assemble for Bible study on Sunday mornings at 9:30. We follow that with a worship service. In that worship service, we pray, we sing, we study God's Word, we partake of the Lord's Supper, and those of us who are members of the Monte Vista congregation contribute of our funds, so that the work of God may continue. I hope that you'll come and join us. We also assemble at 6 o'clock on Sunday evening. We do that to study God's Word. We assemble also at 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening. Therein we study the Bible. At Monte Vista, we try to go through the Bible entirely every 5.5 years. We're on that journey to study the Bible now, and currently are studying in the New Testament, the book of John. If any of these things interest you, come and visit us. We've had in the past people that have visited that said that they heard about the church on this radio program, and I don't remember a single one of them ever feeling as though that we were trying to press upon them something. We just want to study God's Word. Come and be with us. My prayer this week is that each one of us have more than ample opportunity to let a bright light shine for Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.